wish to welcome you to this portfolio committee meeting. And today we are having, as you've seen in the agenda, the department to give us quarterly report. And Sita Mwadusi and HRDC. So we'll first start with the department. I've already met DG. We'll ask him to take the floor. He'll guide us how the presentations will be made. And after the department, we'll have a short discussion and engagement before we go to the next item. First, over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members, my colleagues in the department, Mwadusi, as well as Sita, and everybody in the meeting. This is the second quarter report, Chair, in respect to the annual targets that we set out in our 2018-19 annual performance plan, of which the target for this financial year is 110. We have shared with the portfolio committee that in respect to these targets, they are year-long targets in their nature, but we'll seek to provide reports to the portfolio committee in respect to the milestones that were set towards achieving these targets at the end of the financial year, of which for the quarter in question, the milestones are 32. And after thorough evaluation, we have come to a conclusion to share with this portfolio committee that all these milestones to date have actually been achieved. And the essence of these milestones in respect to the entire post-school education and training are addressing targets that are looking at improving the quality of provision in our institutions and thereby enhancing the academic performance of students across the entire system and ensuring that we are able to provide skills that would make a meaningful impact towards addressing the critical challenges that are facing the country, which is unemployment, poverty, and high levels of inequality. The details then in respect to how this turned out to be will be elaborated in the respective programs as it will be presented by the respective program heads. I would like at this point to call upon a presenter for Program 3, which is University Education Branch, to quickly take the portfolio committee through in respect to these matters.
Yeah.
Let's
keep going back here. Thank you very much, DG, and good morning to the honorable members. The University Education Branch, whose purpose is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory framework for an effective and efficient university education system and to provide financial support to universities, NSFAS, CHE, and NIHSS. We've got 15 targets for the financial year 2018-2019, and a big part of the branch involves support for and oversight of a range of programs and functions in the university system, and the status of these areas is captured in carefully compiled implementation and oversight reports. The programs in this slide six, the programs or the targets for the year, those 15 targets are shown there. I won't go through all of them, but for the quarter, which is the next slide, we have two targets that we have to meet. And the first one being the Higher Education HIV and AIDS Program, which submitted its report on time, and the program is being implemented in both universities and the TVET colleges. And 200,000 students and staff members underwent HIV testing and were screened for TB and sexually transmitted infections, mainly through the AIDS flagship program called First Things First. And 600,000 students participated in the health and wellness related discussions and dialogue sessions through peer-to-peer education. We've got peer educators at all our campuses, both universities and TVET colleges. And recently, the Limpopo Provincial Department of Health completed the construction of 16 clinics at TVET colleges, the first of such investments in our country. Because it's mainly the universities that have the clinics and not the TVET colleges. And then on the next slide, continuing with the program, 2,154 lecturers participated in the capacity building activities that are aimed at integrating HIV education into formal teaching and curriculum. And a group of 11 university health clinics that are accredited to provide antiretroviral treatment were among the first facilities in the country to offer pre-exposure prophylaxis to HIV uninfected young people. And then the next target was the preparation for a cohort report on first-time entering undergraduates. The audited data from universities have been received as planned, and data verification and generation of tables is underway. And just a reflection on some of the progress, significant progress, that's carried on slide number nine, the reflections on other developments during the quarter under review. And the second bullet there, the main thing is that University Council submitted self-assessment questionnaires for the first time from June 2018, and this relates to the good governance guidelines and the governance report that will be submitted by the end of the year, and this is in preparation for, in fact, this is piloting of monitoring of achievements made by the councils, self-assessment of their performance, so that we can have good governance at the institutions. And finally, the United States South Africa Higher Education Network was launched in July 2018, and the first phase of the university staff doctoral program is being implemented through the network. And this involves supporting 140 university academics to obtain their doctoral degrees through the South Africa U.S. collaborations. So that is the report from the university bench for the quarter. Thank you very much, DG.
Thanks, Program Porter.
Thank you, DG. Starting with our presentation, just to again reflect, this branch is supposed to plan, develop, implement, and monitor policy and programs within the TVET system. We have 25 targets in total. Mostly those are around oversight reports, covering examinations, infrastructure, and then TVET college performance. And I will give an update on those various issues. The first item that we report on quarterly is certification backlog. For now, I'm going to not elaborate on this point because we have a full presentation on that straight after this, which will also give updated figures in terms of certification backlog. The next bullet point, addressing the conduct of public TVET college examination centres. So as we report quarterly, the quarter that we could report on, or the exam cycle that we could report on in this quarter, was April of 2018. In this particular quarter, we had, of the 185,000 students that completed examinations, 467 candidates impacted through irregularities. So we still believe that that's a small component in terms of the bigger number. We continue to work on trying to reduce those irregularities, but I guess it is in the normal course that some irregularities do take place. Then, moving on, in terms of monitoring and evaluation, we do complete a monitoring and evaluation report quarterly. That was completed. We've also decided to maybe start giving a little bit of the detail that sits within those reports. This particular report covers issues of governance and management, access and growth, systems efficiencies, and partnerships are some of the topics it measures or looks at per quarter. Within that, we have found that our colleges are around 90% compliant in terms of submitting reports on time and the various data sets that are required. Some things that this report did highlight for us in this particular quarter were some colleges that were slow in the NSFAS disbursements. I think we do know of all the difficulties that NSFAS were facing. But within that, we found that there were a couple of colleges that were having particular difficulties. These monitoring reports then help us to zoom into those areas and provide assistance to colleges. Another issue of interest to note is something that we are also measuring is the amount of lecturers that are undergoing workplace exposure. This is also a system target for us. In this particular quarter, we had 343 lecturers undergoing some stint in the workplace and gaining some workplace exposure. This is not on the slide, but maybe it's just something to mention, as I know that this committee has asked for this information previously. In terms of the audit reports of colleges, we can report that for 2017, we had 19 colleges with unqualified audits, 24 with qualified audits, 5 with disclaimers, and 2 with outstanding audits. Most of the difficulties that we did find in terms of the qualifications were really very technical, GRAP-specific issues, and mostly those were around assets and revenue recognition issues. Okay. All right, moving along to the infrastructure, new infrastructure. As you all know, our Tabazimbi campus is now running. We have over 400 students already in that campus. A difficulty that we did experience in this quarter was water to the college. This was not unique to the college, but was actually a problem within the whole area. And we were looking at boreholes and measures to deal with the water problems at that particular campus. Also, just to report that Nkandla has also got already some occupancy. We have roughly about 230 students already in the Nkandla campus, and then Bambanani we will have a partial handover on the 27th of November to start occupying some of those buildings. Those were the first three colleges. Then for the remaining colleges, campuses that we have started building processes on, I think everything is actually proceeding quite nicely to plan. The last of the two sites that were handed over was Kwakikazi and Greytown. And work has now started there. We had some difficulty with our Balfour and Giani sites. Both of those were contractual problems that we had. In the case of Balfour, the provider that was contracted was liquidated, and we are now in a process of recontracting. So there's some delays with the Balfour site. The Giani site, also contractually, that was a joint venture. Of which the main joint venture partner withdrew, and we have now relooked the Giani, and what we have decided to do there is to really start with the maintenance of that site, which looks as if it will be around 55 million that needs to go into that. So that's on the new side. Then if we move on to the next slide, the maintenance work that we are currently doing. So we've basically broken this up into three phases. For the first phase, we only allocated per college 500,000 rand, which was actually quite a small amount compared to the total budget for maintenance. But what we were trying to do there is to make sure that colleges were spending the money according to what the priorities were and the standards that we had implemented. So we've done significant training with colleges for them to understand the standard, how to go about procurement processes, how to prioritize buildings. And within that 500,000 first allocation, we wanted just to be sure and to really check and monitor quite closely that they are doing the right things and following the correct process. So we've through that now. In the second phase, that would be 8.6 million that was given to colleges. They've all completed maintenance plans, and we are now in a process of working through those maintenance plans. That has been a little bit slower than anticipated, and I must say that I believe the department really is doing due diligence in terms of these maintenance plans. So it's a process that we're undertaking, first of all, again, to make sure that it is prioritized according to the standards that we've set. But we are even looking at quantities, making sure that prices quoted for particular items are reasonable compared to the quantum of what needs to be done. And so as we are working through those maintenance plans, sometimes they get sent back, colleges are asked to make changes, they reevaluate it, but quite a number of those are now in process and work on those maintenance plans are starting. Okay, then moving on, just to say that as part of that infrastructure, they also had a maintenance checklist to fill in where sort of bulk and essential services needed to be highlighted, and then we of course checked the maintenance plans against those checklists that were completed. Finally, just a comment on SafeSet. You will recall that SafeSet has not been really established as a standalone entity as yet due to budget constraints. So we are still managing it within the department. The minister has requested that we perhaps relook the model of how we deal with it in the department and perhaps rather consider strengthening particular units and chief directorates rather than have it as a standalone unit. So we are busy relooking a proposal that we will be submitting to the minister shortly. Just to say, on SafeSet, I think the main work that has happened in that space has been around lecturer development, the lecturer development strategy. We've also done significant work on the continuing professional development strategy. There is a framework document published at the moment, which we are working through comments. And if all goes well, then probably in 2019 we will start with a few colleges to file it. That TPD framework. So we feel quite happy with the progress that we've made there. Of course, also within SafeSet, the Centres of Specialisation projects, a lot of the curriculum development, learning material development, lecturer development is also being housed in SafeSet, so it is also playing quite a big part in that Centre of Specialisation program. All right, then I think moving to the last slide, as the DG opened, he said that a lot of our targets are annual targets and around net counts and so on. One of the system targets that we can report on is about issuing of certificates. In this case, looking at the June examinations, those students that were eligible, we believe, were certificated within the 3-month period. And, so of course we'll have to measure that across the exam cycles for the year, but we are confident that we are still, at this point, meeting that criteria of certification in 3 months. And I think that was my last point. Thank you very much.
Program 5.
Thank you, Gigi. Program 5 is still the development branch. again from my side, let me just indicate the purpose of the branch is to promote and monitor implementation of national skills development strategy and also develop skills development policy and regulatory framework on the effective skills development system. For this current financial year, the annual target we had 80, and our area of focus is on oversight on skills development, two efficiencies in artisanal trade testing, and success in artisan development, which is measured through the pass rate and the information management system and artisan developed. Now, for the quarter under review, we just want to indicate the progress around the new CETA landscape. For the new draft CETA landscape document was gazetted for public comments on the 22nd of August 2018, and public comments have been received and are being analyzed, and the final CETA landscape document will be gazetted in the fourth quarter. Now, the next slide, we have got a target of developing a report on implementation of national skills development strategy, and I want to emphasize that the report that is reflected here is for quarter one, because the report is generated on the second quarter, because we still need to validate what was achieved. The total number, because the portfolio committee requested us to extract information from those quarterly reports that get submitted to the DG for approval. So we just took some few, not all the programs that are in that strategy. Now, the number of firms, small, medium, and large, reporting on WSP, ATR, and pivotal training, the target was 28,786. And for the first quarter, which then, because the report is reflecting what was achieved in the first quarter, is 15,000, which is 54%. And the total number of unemployed people entering learning program, the annual target is 123,107. And the first quarter, which was achieved by the CETAs, was 25,575, which is 21%. Now, we're breaking down all those learning programs to indicate what is the annual target and what then was the actual. 60,000 is the annual target for learnership for the unemployed, and 14,169 was the actual. Same as bursary, 16,810, and 2,000 was the actual. Internship, 13,860, and the actual, 3,351. Skills program, 32,390 for the unemployed, and the actual was 5,998. Now, again, coming back to the trade test, processing of trade test application. Now, it took an average of 37 days to process applications from the receipt of trade test applications until the trade test was conducted. This is an improvement from the first quarter achievement of 42 days reported. We think that we are on the track to achieve the annual target of 80 days to process qualifying trade test applications for the trade test testing. Now, another target is the development of single national information management system for artisan development. There's a progress towards the development of a single national information management system. The data load specification and the draft design of the database have been completed as planned. Now, coming back to the trade test pass rate, for the second quarter, the achievement is 61%, which is an increase from the previous quarter of 57%. We think that we're on good course. Now, another significant development during this quarter under review, which we want to report to the portfolio committee, the National Skills Authority has just completed the evaluation of NSTS 3 for the past few years, of which findings have been considered for the development of the revised NSTP. The NSTS report will be made public early next year in the national conference planned by the NSA. Now, again, we want to say the public comments on the CETA landscapes were received and analyzed, and thereof was completed. A submission is being processed for the minister's consideration. 14,463 new artisans were registered in the last two quarters against the annual target of 28,750. Thank you.
Program two.
Just before members, remember to write your notes and questions, because we'll only open for discussion at the end of the whole presentation of the department.
Thank you, Chair. Program 6.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair, and honorable members and colleagues. Program 6 is community education and training, the purpose of which is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy programs, program assessment practices, and systems for community education and training. For the year, the program has 6 targets which all deal with oversight records. The oversight records focus on the following: governance in CET colleges, teaching and learning, which is produced twice per year, the CET college sector performance, infrastructure maintenance, as well as the implementation of partnerships by CET colleges. For the quarter under review, this is slide 24. For the quarter under review, the focus was on oversight on governance, teaching and learning in CET colleges. At the time we compiled the report, 8 of the 9 colleges had adopted recommended governance policies. And at the time it was the Western Cape which had not complied, but they have since also complied. They have adopted all the governance policies which we provided for them. And one of the challenges emanating out of our report is that until such time that the CET colleges are running their own systems, some of the policies are really not easy to implement if, for instance, your budget is held somewhere else. The capacity of CET colleges then is to be tested when we succeed in ensuring that they manage their own budgets. Now, but to that effect, then that is why we have, together with the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, we are making sure that at least with effect from next year, we are able to, if everything else, this is the one area where the cycle could not fail, should not fail us, because we would like colleges by the end of this financial year to be in a position to receive their own budget so that they can operate in a manner that befits education institutions. One of the reports was about teaching and learning. It was a sample of 303 centers, which is at least 10% of the 3276. One of the main concerns emanating out of the report is the issue of teaching and learning, which highlights poor attendance by both students and in some instances by both lecturers. And this is attributed to the weakness in terms of supervision by center managers and in some instances also emanating from the report, it's just downright poor preparation, underpreparedness of lecturers when they go to the classroom to go and teach. And those are the matters which we have to deal with: the strength of center management and the quality of lecturers and their preparedness to go to teach. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Program 2.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to all the members. Program 2, page 13, slide 25. We have 11 annual targets for the entire financial year, and all the milestones towards the targets have been achieved for the second quarter. So for the second quarter, our areas of focus are listed in the slide. It includes open learning, recognition of prior learning, RPL, social inclusion in PSET, career development services, international areas, skill supply and demand and identification, information management systems, including the statistics and pieces. So with regards to the MQF and on articulation, the monitoring report on articulation notes that although they are good examples of the examples of good practice in relation to articulation, the implementation at institutional level continues to be an uphill battle because it means engaging with every institution to make it happen. The department is continuing to promote articulation in the system through workshops with providers. Then on the question of open learning, so open learning is currently a program which is undertaken as an EU, two EU-funded projects which have been adopted to facilitate and promote open learning in the post-school education training system. So the prototype for the national open learning system, which is called NOLS, has been reviewed and recommendations are currently being considered in a system for the development of this NOLS. We are hoping that by June next year, we will have a platform called NOLS, the National Open Learning System, on which materials could be placed. So in terms of material development, we've developed materials for the National Occupational Certificate for the Electrician, for Mathematics and Physical Science, for the NCD, and for some subjects for the National Senior Certificate for Adults, for NASCA. And we're also currently developing materials for the diploma, the TVET diploma for TVET college lecturers. So these are targeted materials development for areas to facilitate quality. We've been having national capacity building workshops for DHET staff on materials development through the assistance of a technical advisor, and we've also been having provincial workshops at an institutional level through an international service provider. A draft policy on open learning is being consulted with and is currently being revised. It's planned to be finalized by March next year. Then with regard to recognition of prior learning, we've had three new applications for RPL centers, and these are being processed. The minister has established an RPL reference group, and members have been appointed. RPL workshops have been held with stakeholders, and the register to recognize RPL providers has been established. Then on the matter of social inclusion, we have established a national social inclusion forum with stakeholders, and the HEAIDS, the organization called HEAIDS, has prepared a document on gender-based violence. And the department is currently using that document to draft a policy on how we should respond to gender-based violence in the post-school educational training system. On the career development services that we offer, we supported over 10,000 clients through different channels, excluding radio. So in particular, through SMS, we supported about 3,400 clients. Through walk-ins, 2,700. Through telephone, about 1,700. By email, 1,200. By Facebook, 77. By Twitter, 77 by Twitter, sorry, and 850 by live chat. So SMS seems to be the most popular way of communication. So. We've had 78 career events in the last quarter. Information, and these take the form of information sessions, training sessions, exhibitions. We've had over 52,000 visits to the Career Health website and about 22 visits to the NCAP website. As you know, the Career Development Support Services function for the country as a whole has not been established as yet, and we are in the process of taking forward the business case in the matter, and we will be approaching DPSA to see where DPSA will allocate this function for government in general, because this function is both a broader government function as well as a specific function for the department. Then on international relations, various activities have taken place, and in the last quarter there was a meeting between the Minister and the High Commissioner of Pakistan, Syria, Palestine, France and the EU. There was a meeting of BRICS education ministers, which resulted in an agreement on planned activities, and various declarations with international partners have been signed, including the one on the G20. And South Africa played a key role in the G20 event as well. With regards to the report on skills, supply and demand, this report contributes to labor market intelligence, and it's produced every 2 years, and it informs the planning for the post-school in education training system, especially enrollment planning and other forms of intervention. And we are on track for the development of this report for the due date. Then with regards to the implementation of the management information system, colleagues, you have had reports about what is called the TVET Management Information System, TVET MIS. And we are trying our best to strengthen it. We are working with an organization called SINOP to help us to get it on track. But from where I'm sitting, we've made a huge leap in the quality of the data we are receiving from TVET colleges now. And that is because of the establishment of TVET MIS. For the first time since 1994, we've been getting individual level record data from TVET colleges. And this has helped us to improve our data analysis and to improve the quality of the data. There's still a long way to go, but we are on the right track and we are putting our efforts on it. So in the last, for 2018 data, 34 out of 50 colleges have declared their data submissions to date. And with regards to SETMIS, S-E-T-M-I-S, we undertook visits to all the CETAs to find out how they are ready for them to look at their SETMIS readiness. And so far, 18 CETAs out of 21 have submitted their data through the SETMIS in the second quarter. Then with regards to our annual report on statistics on PSET, we are on track to produce that report for next year. It's our key landmark report. Thank you very much, Chair, for your patience.
Program 1, Mr. Trudeau.
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, honorable members. Program 1 and the financial information are present. Unfortunately, the DDG for Corporate Services could not be here. So on Program 1, there are 10 annual targets for the financial year as a whole, starting at the filling of funded vacancies, the management of disciplinary areas, information, communication technology, the payment of invoices, as well as the management of the audit findings. Now, on the past quarter, or for the quarter under review, two areas regarding the audits. First of all, that the audits were finalized and the department achieved an unqualified audit opinion as previously communicated with the annual report. Since then, we've also compiled an audit action plan on the various findings of the audit, and that has been approved by the Director General for implementation, and branches are already in the process of implementing the action plans. In terms of information and communication technology, the key focus area at this point in time is to start with the ICT procurement plan for the 2019-20 financial year, and that has commenced. So in terms of the achievements during the quarter, also in terms of funded the filling of funded vacancies. Current information is that 91.8% of vacancies have been filled,
which exceed the target that was set for the period at 1.8%. It currently takes approximately 159 days to fill a position compared to the planned target of 180 days. Management of disciplinary cases, currently 76.3 disciplinary cases or percent of disciplinary cases have been concluded and resolved within the 90-day period, although the target is set at 100%. 99% of valid invoices from creditors were paid within 30 days. There are a few invoices that could not have been processed within the 30-day period. Those are reported every month to National Treasury. In terms of network connectivity, uptime has been reported as 98%. So then in terms of the financial information, as at the end of the first quarter, the department reported spending of 36.8 billion rand. At the end of the second quarter, the spending increased to 61.749 billion rand. Our total drawings for that period until the end of September, therefore, was 65.558 billion rand, and that represents 73% of the total available funds that the department have until the end of March 2019. Now, if you take into account that we've spent the 61.8 billion, it represents an underspending on the amounts drawn from National Treasury of 3.8 billion rand. And that represents an underspending on amounts drawn of 5.8% compared to the Treasury limit of 8%. Now, if we look at the next slide, it is an indication of that 3.8 billion underspending on drawings and what the reasons for those are. First of all, there's been some delayed transfers for universities on some of the earmark grants, and that is mainly due to the delays in finalization of allocations, because, Chair, what is happening in this case is that each university must submit reports on the utilization of previous funding, and they submit plans, and those are evaluated, and on that basis only final allocations are made to the institutions and transfers to them. And as a result of, in some cases, the non-submission of plans by universities, in other cases, late submission of plans, those transfers can only be made when everything has been finalized and fully assessed before the department can decide to make the transfer to the institution. The second one is on the capital grant transfers for TVET colleges. During the presentation of Program 4, there was an indication of how that money will be flowing over the remainder part of the financial year when all the plans for the maintenance and other structures have been completed. In terms of compensation of employees, underspending of approximately 109 million, mainly because of the overprovision on the 63% salaries for TVET colleges. That matter is receiving attention, and what will in principle happen is that a lot of that payments based on council-employed staff will flow during the end of this quarter and in the last quarter of the financial year. There's a delay in the transfers to community education and training colleges due to some capacity constraints experienced, and all that will be planned to be paid during the last quarter of the financial year. In terms of goods and services, Chair, there's mainly outstanding invoices and commitments on the system, totaling approximately 75 million rand.
If you look at expenditure trends further, we still see that university education remains the highest spending program of the department, currently at close to 79%, and that is due to the subsidy payments to universities as well as to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. Thereafter, the TVET program currently stands at almost 50% in terms of subsidies being paid, and transfers, therefore, still remains the highest spending item on the department's vote. Expenditure for normal departmental operations, as at the end of September, amounted to 4.4 billion rand, which includes compensation of employees. In terms of the normal subsidy payments to institutions and other entities, we can confirm that all those transfers were made as planned, and the next slide just gives a short summary of that, where one can see that in the majority of cases, transfers were at 50%, which is then by the middle of the year, at the end of the second quarter. In the case of universities, because they are paid in terms of the academic year, the subsidy transfer there was at close to 71%, and for the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, also as a result of the link of its activities towards the academic year, 95% was paid out in terms of NSFAS. Then, Chair, as requested, we just report on the adjusted estimates, although that only happened in October, but the adjusted estimate for the department increased with 486 million rand to reach 90.436 billion in the adjusted estimates, and there are mainly two reasons for that increase. Firstly, National Treasury increased the estimated levy collections for the skills levy. There is an increase of 382.778 million rand, and those funds will then be transferred when collected to the various CETAs and to the National Skills Fund. On the other hand, as indicated previously by the Minister of Finance during the main estimates presentation, although not allocated, funds were set aside for the Student Housing Infrastructure Program, and now in the adjusted estimates, total amount of 103 million was allocated, that specifically for three of the universities in terms of student housing. There were also some reprioritization that took place within the amounts allocated in the department, especially to address key delivery areas such as our examination services, to ensure that there is sufficient funding available for those services to be rendered in full. Chair, I think that closed, except just to flag that these two slides where we just provide all the information in actual amounts, information on the status per program, where we show the drawings, the actual expenditure, and then also the unspent drawings, and the same for the economic classifications. Thank you, Chairperson. That's from my side. Thank you, DG.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. That is the presentation from the Department of Higher Education and Training in respect to the second quarter of this financial year. Back to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DJ. Thank you, presenters. Members, it's over to you now. Honorable Ozoli 1. Honorable Killian 2, Mavunda 3, Ntunu 4, Ndlovu 5, Volmarans, you can just, so you'll be seen. Yeah, let's start, please. 1.
Thank you, Chair. Look, inevitably in these sessions you present what your targets were and how you met them, trying to meet them. But it does raise questions of what the targets are. And I know that that seems out of place, because then you'll say, well, we should be addressing that when we set our targets. But nevertheless, when you report like this, it makes one think about what the targets are. And I would be appreciative if you would take some of these comments forward into the target setting phase. First one, not all of these comments are like that, but the first one isn't actually, but some of our comments are. So the first one is, I just want to ask you what this workplace exposure of your TVET lecturers actually consists of. What do they do? How long are they there? Do they get some sort of certificate as a result? What actually does it consist of? And what proportion of the staff are going? I saw the number, but I don't know what the proportion is. Second one is, you know, there's always this huge disjuncture between your reports on university education and what's actually happening inside universities. And what's happening inside universities doesn't look like what you say is happening in the department. So there's a disjuncture there, and I understand that universities are autonomous. But nevertheless, it would be good, I think, if you could extend your considerations about inside universities to questions of the culture of universities, the toxic nature of what's going on in many universities, the wars that are going on in universities, and whether or not the department can have any effect on that. Your governance document is a good idea, and it could perhaps be extended to include questions of university day-to-day life and how one gets the sense that it's not a pretty thing. The CETA landscape document, I'm afraid I don't follow every government gazette, and I haven't seen the draft landscape document. We were presented with the draft landscape document last time to put our comments in, but I noticed that that has not been done this time. And that you are going to go for the final one without the committee ever having seen it. Now, we had quite a few concerns with the last landscape document, and I think the committee would appreciate seeing it again before you finalise it. You have, in terms of CETAs, not a single word on corruption in the CETAs. Everybody knows that they are full of corruption, left, right and centre. I mean, I've got two that I'm concerned with at the moment, which is the services CETA and the MIC CETA, both of which have demonstrated very serious corruption. Your targets seem not to really be concerned about that or have any interest in dealing with it. So that really is a question about targets. The record of the artisans that you mentioned that you're going to be doing, does that relate to the SACWA database, the big database that we're also concerned about in relation to the law? What is that database going to be doing? In fact, you mentioned a couple of databases in your general report in various areas. Now, what is the relationship between those and the massive SACWA database that the entire world is going to have to consult? And then just a couple more quick ones. New artisans, I see you've met the target in your first quarter, it seems. You've done about 50% of the target. It means your target may be a bit low, because every year you seem to meet really easily. In CET, the teachers don't pitch up, you say. Well, are they qualified to teach? Have they ever had any training? Do they know what to do when they teach? Or are they just self-appointed? The only segment in your entire report on actual learning and teaching is a little bit on how teachers don't turn up in CET and open learning initiatives. Other than that, you might as well not be overseeing a teaching and learning department. You never mention it. I wonder, in terms of the TVET, maybe you should have a teaching and learning policy, or maybe you do and we don't know about it. If you could just address that. And then the last thing that has consistently worried me ever since it was formed, we never get any reporting on this Humanities Institute. We don't know what it's doing. It seems to have about 38 million rand a year. It's a huge amount of money. Coming from the humanities myself, I would like to know what it's up to and what its impact is, and whether it is worth 38 million. So, thank you.
Thank you. Two, number two.
Thank you, Chairman. Chair, yes, I'm actually just juggling two things simultaneously. The one is to focus here and the other is to deal with a very urgent matter in my constituents.
No, Judy, please concentrate here.
I'm doing my best. Chair, I just want to say that I, to a certain extent, share the concerns expressed about targets. And I think we have had that discussion in the past. And that is, when targets are compiled, and this is not the appropriate time, but please, going forward, we will have to re-look what are the most critical interventions per each branch that will make a significant difference. And obviously, it must be complying with a SMART principle, it must be measurable and all of that, but the issue is, I have always had a concern that you compile a report and then you tick a box. You compile the report. But the point is, what has changed, except that you have ticked the box. And I just want to mention a few examples in the presentation. Chairperson, first of all, if I look, and I'm going to start with the TVET sector, because I really want to single out the TVET sector, the community education and the skills sector, because those three branches, yes, we have challenges at university level, but we have focused far too much on university level, and I know Honourable Bazzoli will differ from me as far as this is concerned, but this is where the critical skills challenge in the country can be resolved. So therefore, I am particularly worried about those three branches, and they I want to commend Program 2 that at least we're now getting to a stage where we're getting the TVET MIS in place. I want to know, when will that be complete? Because it's no good hearing it's in progress, but it's still a lot to be done, etc. We want to have a deadline. We want to know. Because for the past 4 years, I feel that we've wasted our energy. Remember, everybody wants to have a sense of having made a contribution. And we're concluding our term now, Chairperson, and you know, we feel like we've been almost like stuck in the old terminology records, in the old terminology of those who still know those flat discs, you know. But anyway, because we've been asking about this TVET MIS and information, because without information coming out of the sector, how do you know how to address the shortcomings? So I'm really glad that there's progress, but it's not adequate. Secondly, here we see in TVET colleges that we've had some reports, and there is a number of the reports mentioned. I see that they have been listed, but for instance, there's a 90% compliance to governance standards. I am unconvinced that that is indeed so, except if our governance standards are extremely low. Our information is that there are college councils that have run out of their time having served their terms. So what is happening in those colleges? Honourable Bazzoli spoke to large-scale corruption. I have no evidence of large-scale corruption. But we all know what happens when there is not adequate governance and when there is not strict adherence to the Auditor General prescriptions. And by the way, I must say, there's progress on audit reports. But it's still nothing to boast about. To have two disclaimers is not good enough. To have 24 qualified AG reports is not good enough. We have basically two out of the 50 colleges that have made the grade. So clearly there's a lot to be done. I also want to know, in, as far as Steven is concerned, there were challenges with the construction of Balfour and Giani and some of the others. What are the lessons learned? How will it adjust, how will it impact on how construction companies are appointed going forward? Because whenever we have challenges, clearly we must see, oh, this is as a result of this, and we shouldn't repeat it. So what were the lessons learned? How will those gaps be closed? It's good that there's maintenance plan that's been put in place. Chair, I've got a very serious concern about the slide 19 of skills development. If we look at the target, are we going to achieve it towards the year end? Is it, because we must remember, as we close towards the end of any academic year, you tend to lose track. And then comes the last quarter, you say, oh, due to this, that, and the following, you couldn't make the, you couldn't achieve the target. And we've had that repeated times, and really, I want to have a commitment from the skills development branch. Will you make your target, or will you overreach your target? This is where South Africa can be turned around. And it feels too much like, I made a note somewhere here. This was community education. I got a sense that there's a desktop management approach. There's not a hard sort of touch base with these colleges and their challenges. Look at their appalling attendance record of both educators as well as learners. And then we want to say that this is going to make a meaningful difference in the lives of people who have lost hope, they've gone out of school. I'm sorry, but this is not good. Really. And I don't want to be negative. Please just hear me as far as my plea is that we can do better. And that is where we need that magical, what are those critical interventions that will make us achieve the real goals and the National Development Plan. I would like to just lastly, Chair, lack of systems and controls to operationalize the policies in most colleges is a challenge. That is slide 24. Can the community education branch please elaborate further on that? What is it? You know, from what we see, we don't get a sense of a managed approach to these critical sectors. So really, I just want to conclude with that. Thank you, Chair.
So then, next three. Don't ask too many questions.
Yeah,
maybe we should limit one person to three for now.
Okay.
And we should switch off ourselves, because you can't be in this meeting and try and address constituency offices. There should be a coordinator who can take notes and phone you there. Don't do everything at once, government. Focus on one thing, solve it, and move to the next. If you try and do 100 all week to end, obviously, that is why our system at times collapses, Julie. Just to put your threshold workshop, because we try to do too much at once. Number three.
I know, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, unfortunately, this restriction doesn't work with me. Anyway, I will soldier on.
How many questions did you have, Marvin?
I think I have got three chapters.
Oh, so yeah. No problem, actually.
Yeah. Oh, no, thanks,
Chair. Christmas,
Yeah. Maybe it is because of the neighborhood with Honorable Kenya, because she she managed to see through my notes, and she was able to ask the question I was intended to ask. But let me come back to it again. The construction of at the Buffalo and Yan. It is mentioned that it is due to civil disruption and procurement challenges, respectively. What is that? Can we get the details of the disruption, the nature of the disruption? Because the reported as it is, maybe we may not have the picture of what is taking place or what took place. My second question, Chair, relates to the program 2, the career development services. The third bulletin, 78 career events took place. The information is there, training and stuff like that. But it does not give us where these events took place. In fact, I'm interested in knowing where these things took place and the number of participants who participated there, and also in your observation, what is the impact? What is the impact when you look at the first, before your intervention and after the intervention? What is the impact? Lastly, Chairperson, I think just for it's part of the information sharing. On the 16th, last week Friday, I was listening to Mungana Lonen program. The program is run by Sydney Baloyi. It is called Africa Waulaula. Africa speaks during the day, 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Now, a learner or a student complained through this program to say, I am enrolled with Mopani Tibet College in Alapura. Now, when she goes there to get a certificate, she is told that we are too busy, we can't attend to you. So, can this happen in the institution of that caliber? Can the department make a follow-up on this? Unfortunately, I could not reach here because it was the weekend. And they say she says she resides around Majeje in Alapura area, municipality. So maybe it is not her alone, and it's not only happening in Mopani Tibet College in Alapura. But this can be one of the evidence we can have to say this is what is happening in some of our institutions. Thanks,
Jefferson.
I think I
shot the question. Sure. Just then, Mabunda, the next time I say something like this, you refer it to a PCO so that the coordinator, usually when the PCO calls the principal, that shakes him up because this is obviously unacceptable. But people still do things that are unacceptable. But if you phone from PCO, she might get her certificate tomorrow.
Okay.
Next person.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I don't know, it's a bit strategic, the way that you have written it. I want to agree with my colleagues that it leaves much, though, to be desired. On your slide 12 on Tibet colleges, I also need to get the specifics on the 343 lecturers' work placement, if like what Honorable Pozoli has said. On slide 13, we are happy that there is progress on the construction of the new Tibet college campuses. I am just asking myself, can we safely say that we are on track with the building of the 12? That's what I wanted to know. And also, is Richmond, the Ndaleni campus, a part of that program or project, which is Umgungundlovu Tibet? I think it is linked to that one. Just want to know whether it is part of that and what is the progress in relation to the construction. The second one, also on Tibet, the issue of not submitting marks by lecturers and leading to the non-production of certificates, I think it also has an impact on the backlog on the bulk of certificates which are not awarded or given to students. I think we need to have some form of consequence management. It is not enough to just say that there are measures put in place for them to submit. That for me is not what I would expect from the department, just to instill discipline and compliance as well. If you can also tell us a bit about the new database system that you have said that you have implemented, what is the progress on that one? Because we, from other presentations, we were told that now we will no longer have challenges of database in the Tibet colleges. On skills development, I also share the same concern with Honorable Pozoli, where we are being told that the final draft will be gazetted during the fourth quarter, whilst there is no indication on when the portfolio committee will get an opportunity to interact with that, because we don't want to be surprised with what you are saying in that new future landscape. So that is our concern. The last one is on CET. firstly, the report is too short. Actually, it's one slide, because the other one is just tabulating the annual targets. Then really just that part, just that one slide, which is trying to explain what is happening. But I would want to share a concern that this poor attendance, lack of supervision, inadequate preparation by lecturers, just to hear what the department is doing about that. And not only that, maybe also share with us again on the problems, if we can remember, that we were having a concern that the ECETs, we will always say this, that they are, by the way, the second chance metric, they offer second chance metric programs only. We were of the idea that those short courses that will assist our community to be able to fend for themselves are really important if we are following what we envisage, what a community education and what college is. So can you please assist us? Because this inadequate preparation, really, they are inadequately prepared for metrics, and if we are saying that the attendance register, can you speak about the attendance register at this level to say that they are not a poor management of them and whatnot? Those are basic things. How do you keep such people? Pella, that speaks to performance management. What is it that the department is doing? Because it's not at this level. There is regional and whatever level. So even those people who are in the, I'm not, not for you, Dr. Mashobo, but those people, it means that we don't have the right people even in the regional offices who are able to monitor and supervise the institutions, the centers themselves. So you don't have the good support. So it means that we can also remove those people and give you the necessary support that you require, because at this level, really, we cannot speak about poor management of registers. Who are supposed to assist you, to support you, benza. So really, we understand that it's a new thing, but I'm worried about your support system also.
Are you through, Tula?
Yeah,
okay, sure. Before I move to the next, I think what also helps members is not just to kataza, you know, but we must also suggest what we, I mean, a person like Nkuru who's been in education and has experience in this community-based colleges, you could share, you could give better suggestion how to run things in a more progressive way. So I'm just reminding you that your duty is not just to question, but also to help come up with solutions for those that might have ideas.
I have provided a solution that because he's not getting enough support, maybe we should conduct performance management.
Use your microphone.
Angithi IQMS chair. Angithi you are able to see the performance of people, whether they are able to support you as a supervisor. So that should also be conducted in these centers, so that if these people are not able to provide the necessary support, we can then demote them and promote abantu abazokwazi ukuthi to offer the necessary assistance. That's what I've said. Even with the issue of innovation, because they are in these centers, I've said it, they are able to see what the community requires in that particular area. We have spoken of simple things, of cell phone repairs. They can also think of other things they can, which can assist those that are not skilled in order to be able to become better people. That's what I've said, Shane. Ukuthi as much as we can criticize that there isn't much that done, but the bulk does not only rest with the higher level of management in the department, because this is a new thing. Those who are given this position, they should be creative enough now to be able to come up with new ideas. This is what can be done in order to make these community colleges the ones of a special type.
Okay, thanks. Next
person,
Volmaran.
Thank you, Chair.
You are no sorry for
Volmaran. Thank you, Chair. Let me also join my colleagues who have welcomed the report, even though it is very modest in terms of the information.
Very?
Modest.
Modest.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, as a teacher, you know, you start from the known to the unknown, and the principle on its own. Now, I'd like to congratulate you for the unqualified audit opinion that you have received as a department.
and in the filling of advertised positions, went down to the two. Now, there is an important element that is highlighted by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, that is Section 59, that is pertinent to public participation. Throughout the slides, your slides or your presentations were very much silent on public participation. It is very important that you highlight how do you go about engaging the public on issues of education. Let me come to my questions then.
You wrote them right at the back, man.
I don't want to repeat what the others have said. I'm promoting. Now, on Program 5, Skills Development, I have here the targets that you have set for yourself for the year for new artisans. You are saying to us, I presume that emanated from your strategic planning, where you had set your targets. And I think they are supposed to be realistic. You have a target of 28,750. But what you have achieved, I think, is 19,428. Taking into cognizance the 14,463 new artisans and the 4,965 which were registered in the second quarter. I think the 14,000 is your first quarter, then the 4, that gives us a total of 19,428. Now, the set target was 28,000. Minus the 19,000, you have a shortfall of 9,322. Then, what were the challenges that inhibited you to meet your target? The second question, you highlighted on Program 6 under CETs. I don't want to repeat what my colleague has said. Now, under the oversight, you were focusing on 4 targets. Now, teaching and learning, you told us that there was poor preparation of lecturers. How do you then anticipate improving the situation? How will you motivate the lecturers to be up to scratch with your work? Program 2 again, planning policy and strategy. You told us that you conducted workshops. Now, usually, learners do suffer when you conduct workshops. Can you just give us a sense, what time of the day do you conduct these workshops? For the learners on it not to lose time of their available time. Now you were saying through this capacity building workshops, technical assistance through an international service was sourced. Now, what was the rationale for the international consultation? If there are MOUs that were signed, can you also highlight to us? I think I'm done, Jay.
Now, what is the MOU? MOU. Thanks. Thank you very much for your contribution. Next person.
Thanks, Chair.
I'm not going to repeat much or any of the questions that have been raised. I share some sentiments as pronounced by Honorable Bozodi. But here I want to go to the background and perhaps I don't know whether the question is whether the targets we had set were low or were high. But the purpose of the report that we have in front of us, Chair, is that the department has set 110 annual targets. And from there, they made a plan of how they are going to achieve those targets per quarter. The quarter that they are presenting that there are two milestones. And when you just check on the entire report, the department is saying we have achieved those milestones, which we want to comment because we cannot disagree that they have achieved them. Because they are citing the instances under which they have achieved. Perhaps what the colleagues are actually saying, apart from all the slides that are coming through, is the lack of meat in some of the slides, rather than meeting those targets, because we have 32 milestones that we have targeted ourselves, and here we are saying to the portfolio, these are the milestones, we have achieved them. And for that, we should put a tick, a right tick on it. We should put a right tick on it. Then we start with the programs. Program 3, there's a point where we talk about the HIV/AIDS program and a possible collaboration between the Limpopo provincial government to do the 16 clinics. It is the first of such from the slide. I'm just checking whether is this program going to be rolled out in the whole country, and if such is going to be done, what progress is there to that effect? Because from the presentation, it is a program that we had engaged the department with at some stage, and just to check whether it is going to be rolled out. There's slide number 12 on page 6.
How many questions?
It's my last part. Chairperson, there's 343 lecturers have been placed in the workplace exposure and so on. And that's, this is low against target and interventions are being developed. And I would like to the department to substantiate on what kind of interventions there are. Because they are linked, Chair, there's one that I would want to mention before I step off. Is on page 12, slide number 24. It is a scary slide if you look at the figures. It means if you had 100 students, 50 of them are absent. That's what it says. If you look at the 54%, and where still even the people who are supposed to be taken care of, this students or that's why I was a little bit in paralysis on how does it happen. But because it's a CET, and we said maybe we know some of these things, Chair, I want to find out whether is it by design, or is it happening just as that needs something to do with disciplinary action against the site managers, and or improving the question of managing the students. Why I think it might be by design, if you go to your community colleges, there is a lot of informality taking place. and other people are coming there to pass time. And perhaps it is the design of such institution that you may come with when you have time. And if that is the case, then it is not absenteeism. It is the manner in which the program is designed. You come when you come three times per week if you have the time, and you can do catch up when you are at home. So that it does not look like somebody is doing something wrong when it is actually a design of such nature. And I would like the department to expand on that. It's unlike when you are at Tibet. And if that is this is happening at Tibet level, I would be even more worried. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Since we'll allow TT to answer, members, what I suggest we answer, we receive answers after we move to the next item, Mwalusi, and thereafter HRCD. That will conclude our presentation today. We won't have any break because I'm sure if you want to grab tea, you can. If you want to run to the bathroom, you can while we're waiting. Otherwise, it is past 11 now, and we'll get to the DG and his people to respond. He'll guide us again.
Thank you very much, Chair, and the honorable members, and thanks for the valuable comments that have come through in the process of this engagement. Perhaps, Chair, just to clarify, the reporting is the predetermined target that I'm signed in the annual performance plan of the department. When honorable members are making quite valuable comments into saying, perhaps in the manner in which we set these targets, there are some areas or aspects thereof that we need to take into consideration going forward. And I think that's a valuable suggestion. And guidance that we need to reflect on as a department. Now, there is work that we are doing in the department that we have to account for its operations quite in detail. There is work that we do in respect to the oversight role that we need to play over the entire system in the post-school education and training. On infrastructure, we allocate funds and we determine conditions under which those funds should actually be utilized by each and every institution. And we actually monitor and hold an institution accountable in respect to the utilization of those funds, and we follow it through. Now, in respect to the TVET colleges, the contract that has just been awarded, it's powerful, and Giani that has been mentioned here. But the issue that is affecting some of them is the question of disruption by interest groups at a point of handover site for construction to begin in all these sites for the majority of them. There will be protests for employment. And in some instances, councillors, they get involved into advancing their own preferred individuals and also how some tenders for subcontracting should be allocated. And it results then, in some instances, into projects being stopped. right? We had that experience in respect to Balfour when the site was handed over to the construction company. And I think after 2 months, the construction company was on site. It came out that the main contractor is going under liquidation. And therefore, cannot continue with the construction in the site. And in respect to that, then, we had to engage with the National Treasury with a view of finding a mechanism of procuring other services for construction to take place, and that is currently taking place. And thus far, the Treasury has actually agreed on the processes that we need to put in place. That's in respect to Balfour. Kiani, the main contractor, because it was a joint venture, it pulled out. And now, the small contractors that are remaining, they can't then continue because the awarding of contracts are based on grading that was determined in the meeting of the technical requirements at the point of awarding the contract. That is the issue. We are looking at that, we are discussing on it. So there is construction at Alwar North. There were some disruptions there, led by various sections of councillors and leaders in the area. As of yesterday, we were told that some of the disruptors were arrested and construction has since resumed. So you do get those challenges, which in the main are beyond the control of the department in respect to the work that we're doing. But we work quite hard into resolving the problems as they crop up. Now, the Honorable Member Pozoli is raising critical issues that we needed to look at. What we work out per institution is the enrollment target and what programs are we prioritizing in terms of enrollment in respect to the infrastructure available for the offering of those programs and human resource capacity per institution. We would want a certain number of medical doctors to be enrolled, you know, in a particular institution. So engineers in various disciplines. All right, these targets are met. Then, having them been met by an institution, the question of pass rate, throughput, we look at those. In the process of the operation of these institutions, there would be other operational matters that in actual fact we don't have the power or the authority to manage or administer on day-to-day basis. For instance, labor-related issues and how various formations in an institution conduct themselves in competing for whatever resources or what have you. But what we normally do, when there are problems, we normally get in and assist an institution towards resolving those problems. That we do. But we take the point that perhaps when we are setting out targets, there are some aspects that we need to look at in respect to the health environment in respect to the operations in an institution. But we assist them towards resolving quite a number of a number of them. Now, corruption-related practices, they get the attention and attendance by the department in respect to the prescribed legislative framework, whether it's in respect to an institution or an entity, for instance, a CITAS. So where there are issues in respect to corruption, there are processes in place, and they are all getting an attendance. In respect to MIPSITA, there are processes in place. The accounting authority has been put in terms into attending to those matters, and we are following them quite meticulously on a daily basis. Same applies to the services sector. It's the same approach, because what we have to do is legislated. We don't just walk in and do what we think or what we like to do, but in respect to the prescripts of the legislation, we follow them to the latter, because we have put the matter to the attention of the National Skills Authority to actually look at and give us a report, and they have since done that, and the minister has instituted actions that are emanating from those processes, and they are currently being rolled out and monitored quite closely. So there is quite a lot that is being done. The career services, when this was instituted in the department, its main objective is to assist students who are still at school level to make better career choices when they get to institutions of higher learning, to TVET colleges, with a view of minimizing, one, the inappropriate choice of career, which normally results to students changing in the second year because they couldn't find themselves. So we've opened up and provided a lot of information, working together with DPE, reaching out to all high schools in the country. In the main, students, learners at grade 11 and grade 12, so that they are able to get better choices. And following them through the processes of registration institutions so that they can get that support. Because in our view, that if you have been able to make a correct choice in respect to a career right from the beginning, it minimizes chance instances of dropout, failure, changing career paths, you know, in the middle. And I think there are quite positive results that we are getting in respect to that. And also, it was looking at minimizing some instances of instability in institutions, disruptions, and the injuries as well. Because there wouldn't be long queues in institutions, because people all of a sudden, they wanted to go to this institution to apply in a manner that we normally refer to as a walk-in. So there is entire campaign that we roll out for awareness and for better decision-making in respect to career choices. I think that one is working quite well with us. Now, hey, this program is looking at assisting institutions to manage and to respond better to the questions that are related to gender-based violence and the subsequent effects in that area. So we are working with relevant government departments and with provinces to actually assist. The Limpopo government is coming in order to give impetus to that initiative, so that the services in respect to some aspect of health are afforded to students at our TVET colleges as well as our universities. I think the minister hosted an Imbizo at Vembe TVET College, where in partnership with Hay, the college, as well as Limpopo Health Department, a clinic was established as a facility within the college itself, with a college, a campus which has got enrollment of over 9,000. It's quite a lot. And we're getting, you know, insights as to what impact is it actually making. So in the main, it's just to assist into making services, health services, accessible to students in the system. So we're engaging with all relevant government departments into ensuring that we address this issue. And above all, the minister convened a round table to engage with vice chancellors and the other important stakeholders as to what could be the proactive measures we can put in place in order to address the gender-based violence in our campuses, and also what are the support mechanisms and structures that we need to put in place there, and what are the consequence measures or mechanisms also that we need to ensure that they are actually instituted and implemented so that the perpetrators are not allowed to get away with their acts. So I'll ask...
DC, I'm also going to ask you and your support members to try and respond shortly on questions, because now at 1:30 we'd like to close this session.
Oh, that would help a great deal. can I give then to the program manager to respond to few questions that were asked, just in a minute or two? Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Harda, can you start? Okay. So some of the questions for TVET were around the workplace exposure of the TVET lecturers. So the intention there is that we, you know, it's vocational, and people need to understand, lecturers need to understand the working world and, you know, what has changed in industry. And so for that reason, the intention to, over a 3-year period, to rotate all of our lecturers through the workplace. At the moment, there's no certificates or anything like that being issued, but it is one of the key elements that we want to, and that we are developing into the CPD system. So within that, you know, it will be covered in there. The, I mean, we've run some pilot programs on this, you know, to figure out exactly what is going to be most meaningful, you know, because we don't want to send lecturers into an environment where really they don't learn anything, they don't see anything new. So it has been a process of really trying to define what are their needs and placing them appropriately, which is sometimes part of what makes this process difficult, because you can't just place them anywhere. You really have to try and look for focused places where you can place them. In terms of interventions there, we are working with our CETAs to try and support us to open up workplaces. We also have had some discussions with the Human Resource Development Council, also for assistance on that side. Honourable Bazzoli, in terms of teaching and learning, we do have a teaching and learning plan that's reported annually. It's just not for this quarter. But I mean, I do take the point that actually this is our core business, is teaching and learning. And somehow, you know, we report on everything else. That everything else is important because it creates an enabling environment, but yes, let us not lose focus on the teaching and learning. So, you know, that point is taken. I mean, it is reported once a year, but your point nevertheless is taken. Then, in terms of governance standards, So at the, this again, it's not for this quarter. We are in the process now of appointing new councils. We've been quite rigorous, really done thorough screening on those council members, exactly also to make sure that we create an environment that is, you know, safe of any fraud and corruption. I'm not sure if I heard Honourable Killian correctly, but I did say 19 unqualified audits, reports, and yes, we have to continue to improve that. I think Balfour and Leoni, the DG, has addressed. Ma'am, you had a question about Richmond. At Ungumund Law College, we are developing two campuses, this Umboshi, which is Greytown, mm-hmm. and Msinga, which is in Tugela Ferry. But in Richmond, there's a skills center.
Oh.
And that skills center has been handed over and is now operational. So that answers that question.
Dr. Marshall?
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. In response to the question posed by Professor Pozoi, 87% of these teachers are qualified by the standard of the personal administrative measures, but they are qualified for what? In the context of the sector. 13% of them judged through the PAM are qualified. And this is one of the areas which we have to deal with in the CET sector to determine what does it mean to be qualified for the CET sector, because otherwise to be exclusively qualified with an advanced education diploma or with an advanced ABET qualification is not going to take us anywhere, given the vision we're trying to pursue. And Honourable Member Killian, there's a point in the slide where you say we need to clarify about the difficulty to implement policies. See, there are technical policies, in other words, how do you compile audited financial statements. CET colleges can't do that because they don't have their findings with them. There are HR policies. Their HR is managed by the department. The supply chain management is done by us. So even though you may have a batch of policies, the actual extent to which you can be able to implement them is when you have that capacity to manage them. You can have a stack of them, but actual implementation must come when those functions are handed over to me. The other question had to do with how do we improve the performance of lecturers, basically by strengthening the whole center managers to the content of their contract, because you can't actually hold them to the conditions of service they transported here, but you hold them to account in relation to the performance contract on the basis of which they are paid. And therefore, you have to strengthen the management of the CET college so that those who are supposed to go to class actually do go to class to teach, and they go there prepared. The other issue has got to do with this by design or by accident, or at least this one is not by design yet, but that's where we would like to go. So that we create the flexibility of not having adult sitting at the center from morning till sunset. You come in for that which you want to do and go away. But in this instance, what was evaluated was a formal qualification where you're supposed to be at the center between our so-and-so and our so-and-so.
Yeah. Thanks for me. Is there longer on the record of artisans?
No, thanks, DG. And I think, Honorable Bozolo, you are raising a very important point. I'm assuming, but I'll take it up with the IT specialist, because I would imagine that people who are developing the systems are able to make sure that it links with other databases that are there. That we'll look at.
All right. Thank you. Mabizel?
Thanks, DG, and thanks, Chair. Most of the issues that were raised, and little as they were for the university branch, which was most welcome for a change. DG, most of the issues you have covered, except just to say that the HATE program, just to add on what you said, the HATE program looks at the health and wellness in general at the institutions, and also the GPV policy that DG mentioned is one of the issues, one of the outcomes they were requested to contribute to, which the department is now looking at. But otherwise, they look at the overall health and wellness at the institutions. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Chair, back to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, DG. We're now moving to issue of certificates. The presentation will be done by Kyle Maluti. I would please encourage the department to stick around. You know that at times they say that when you go, then entities say, oh, I wish the department was here because they would respond better, they know why. So if you are here, we can't move issues around, at least we together respond to issues. Malusi and Sita?
No, thanks, sir. We are working together with the Umalusi as well as Sita, and we developed one presentation because we are talking to one issue. Perhaps everyone would then assist in the answering of questions that would arise. I'm made to believe that Gerda would present the, if I'm correct. Is that correct?
Yes, Chair. I could just do one or two opening remarks and then hand over to Gerda.
Gerda.
Gerda. Oh, Gerda.
Gerda Magna.
Okay. Gerda Magna.
Yeah, no, they are quite close, sir.
Yeah. But they don't know each other well.
Yeah, Chair, let me thank you for the opportunity. Chairperson, Honorable Kekana, and all members of the Portfolio Committee on Education and Training. The reason why we have a joint report is that we are working very closely with the department in CETA under the leadership of the DG. The DG has taken personal responsibility to coordinate these meetings that we have every Monday to ensure that there is delivery in this regard. And on the side of Umalusi, Mr. Gerard Boise, whose name is very close to the name of Gerda Magna, who attends the meeting on our behalf. And we looked at this presentation together, and we agree on all points. Maybe just to indicate one or two things, good progress has been made in resolving these issues through these Monday meetings. And the current challenge experienced in the education of candidates is the lack of consolidated records over multiple examination settings. The consolidation of records, Chairperson, entails the combination of subject statements over multiple examination settings into a full certificate. Mm-hmm. Very important to note is that the department is the one that is doing this consolidation, and to assist the department in this regard, we have provided the department with a consolidation report on the NCV and the GTC for them to verify and to formally request the issue of certificates for this candidate. Combinations were done using ID documents to link learner records across the year. The advantage of using IDs is that an ID is consistent with an individual, unlike an examination number, which can change from one examination to the other. As a result, to consolidate the records across the years becomes easy with the ID. However, there are many candidates who still write using exam numbers who don't have IDs, and that creates problems. So we are actually advising that it is better if candidates use IDs so that the records can be easily consolidated. We are doing quality assurance checks to verify that the approved results are certified by comparing the certification data with the resulting data. Very important. The importance of including all learners in the resulting data cannot be adequately emphasized. It's very important. Going forward, we have requested all assessment bodies to send us registration data. So the registration data will say these candidates have registered, and at the point of resulting, it will indicate that these were absent out of those that were registered. And moving forward to the point of certification, we'll be able to compare the data of registration, resulting, and then certification, and then we'll be able to identify the gaps. The amount of spending for the fees for the private colleges is owed to Maluti, 5.1 million to date. And in order to resolve the issue of outstanding fees going forward, Maluti is currently looking at the following options: to have the payment before the rendering of the services of the printing of the certificate. Very important. We're looking at that model so that then we obviate the problem of having to wait. The number of blocked private colleges, we don't have problems with public colleges, Chair. The problem is with the private colleges. If 144 blocked private colleges, and the number of candidates affected by the blocked private colleges is 8,965. Currently, 103 of the 144 colleges have submitted a request for certification of learner record, and as soon as they pay, they'll get their certificate. We appreciate the fact that the department is looking at a new system for examination. We'll have the opportunity of testing that system and vouching for it at a point when the department will be ready to submit data for testing purposes on the new examination system. Thank you very much, DG. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kikana. So I will, as the department, take us through the presentation. Some of the things get a bit technically difficult. In that case, you are welcome to direct the questions to both Sita and Umalusi that are better on the technical details. Okay, so to start with, in terms of the presentation, just to say that this three parties, DHET, Sita, Umalusi, really have been working quite well together, quite hard. We sit on a weekly basis to try and manage the exam backlog situation. And we do believe that it has yielded positive results. But of course, for us, the long-term solution is that we move to a new examination system. So within this presentation, I will talk about all of that, the backlog, as well as the new system and so on. All right, so then first of all to say we have an e-query system. Because we recognize that there is a certification backlog, it's important to have a mechanism for students to go and log the concerns. Now, a lot of the time it does come through colleges. In fact, a lot of it comes to the department directly, but the e-query system has been set up to deal with this. I must say, I personally tested it. It works. It is a bit of a hard system because you have to register first before you can really log the issue. But nevertheless, it is there. So you can then see on the slide the per program category, the number of students that have logged queries on there. At the moment, there is about a 60% closeout of those queries. I think 60% is still low. It needs to be improved. And so, yeah, a total of just short of 5,000 queries that have been put on there, and just
short of 3,000 that have been resolved to date. Okay, if we then continue, on the NCV, you know, I think the truth is for all of the programs, whether NCV, NATED or GCC, the difficulties stem from the IT system and consolidation of results across different years and so on. So NCV, we do believe to a large degree has now been dealt with, but still to do that consolidation or issuing of certificates becomes a manual process, and you know it is particularly slow and difficult. So in terms of the NATED, for this year, 2018, we've had really minimal challenges, but of course it's the backlog that issues the historical challenges. All right, to speak about GCC, and I don't think that GCC has ever really featured as a point on this exam discussion, but we have realized that we also have problems in the GCC, so it's important that we also raise it, you know, so that it gets the necessary attention. Again, same IT system challenges that we do have. For the 2016, 6, 11, and 2017 exam cycles, you can see those figures on the report. We have, at the moment, a 966 number outstanding for 2016 cohort, and then 4,400 for the 2017 cohort. Of course, that doesn't speak to the a backlog before then. Also, what makes this difficult is that there are different provinces involved. As you would know, a lot of the GCC is still managed by provinces, and you know, so data sets coming from various points. All right, so I think yeah, let's get to the points I think that everyone wants to know, and that's really about the numbers. For the so these two tables that I'm going to present now is data as we have it from CETA. I'll later give some different figures. That is some of the work that Dr. Akumensi has been talking about that Umalusi has been doing to try and you know, also verify those numbers. In terms of NCV, at the moment from 2007 to 2017, we have a number of candidates that are still requiring certificates 176. So for us, that is quite low. I think 2017, this last exam, 642. So we feel more or less the NCV is under control. Also, as Dr. Rakamesi said, it has been an issue to try and find candidates. We've engaged with Home Affairs, the whole matter of IDs. You know, sometimes when the female students get married, surnames changed. You know, all of those things have created some problems. We feel that we have really tried to exhaust this list. And in fact, at the moment, we feel that 176 students, we can't find them, you know. And so probably when they come forward, those queries will be resolved. I mean, we continue to try and continue to work on them, but I feel like, you know, that problem has been exhausted. On the NATED, it was probably in about May or June of this year that CETA was first able to really give us numbers in terms of the NATED. And the first numbers that they gave us were huge. We were talking about 120,000 certificates, okay, subject certificates that were outstanding. You know, we've done quite significant work from that time, June until now, to really try and understand who is actually eligible. So it was also a process of inserting particular business rules into the IT system. So, for example, if you haven't got all the certificates on a previous level, you know, or your ICAS marks are not in, therefore you're not eligible for the certificate, those, you know, business rules have to be placed in the system. And the last record that we have, candidates impacted, we are talking about 15,862 students. It is a lot. I mean, there's no real good thing I can say about it. I mean, those are 15,000 students whose lives are impacted somehow. from not getting their certificates. We do not underestimate the severity of it, and nor do we want to underplay the urgency of it. So I think, you know, much as we've dealt with the NCV first, it's now the time we've made it, and we just have to deal with it. And we really need to just work on it consistently to resolve this as soon as possible. Okay, then moving along. So, you know, actually I think I've spoken about this. So some of the challenges that we've had in NATED is the consolidation of the IT system, and that across different cycles. And then the issue of business rules, making sure that we input into the system all the different business rules so that we actually get accurate figures. I must say that for me personally, I felt has been a challenge, you know, because the numbers seem to change, and as business rules are put into the system, and you know, then sometimes the numbers get reduced quite dramatically, and you know, so to really get accurate data, I think has been something that we, well, let me say me personally, I've struggled with to say.
Yeah. All right,
what is that?
Maybe I can request that when you come across something that you've already spoken about,
just
say
okay.
I skip so that you save time because you
thanks.
Really know how to say.
Okay, thanks, so we'll do that. All right, then on to the next slide. Just to reiterate, the printing of subject certificates, we agreed previously that we are phasing that out, and you know, we are working jointly to do that, so that is in process. And then the centres in arrears, I think Dr. Akumete has spoken about that as well. This committee has always been concerned that the students shouldn't be disadvantaged, and you know, I think that work is happening with the colleges. All right, then in terms of completeness checks, now this is really important for us that we do get the data really clean and tidy. Also considering that we're moving into a new IT system, and when that data take on has to happen in the new system, that the data is as clean as it possibly can be. So I think a lot of this Umalusi has taken upon themselves to try and do these completeness checks. It's also helped us you know, get another source of data so that we can try and somehow verify some of the data. All right, if we then look at the next slide on the table, in terms of the completeness checks, and this is, gets a little bit difficult, and Malusi may want to explain this a bit later, but they've taken all of the records, so it's that they have more than, well, almost 600,000 records. They've tried to consolidate them across years, reduce it to number of candidates actually affected, or those consolidated records, brings us to the 53,000, 26,000 of certificates that can be issued, but then the 10,000, I guess, is the important number where, you know, we are sure that the level before has been completed and that student is eligible for that certificate. And then in 13,000 cases, you know, they are actually not yet ready to receive the full certificate. On the GTC, next slide, we can see per province the records also that Malusi has helped now to consolidate, and that those you can see those numbers per province that are outstanding for the GEPC. As I say, you may want to ask more technical questions on this. I'm sure Malusi could help. All right, if we move on to the national in-diploma, since January to November we've dealt with 16,000 in-diploma applications. A total of just under 10,000, 9,700 have been issued, 6,200 have been declined, and 1,100 new applications to fill. At the moment we're dealing with them probably within a month, you know, so that's happening quite quickly, and the volumes are also not too big. Of course, once we sort out the NATED certificates, then the pressure will come again onto the diplomas. Then the new IT system, on the first slide, you'll see that this has been developed over 3 years. Next year is really a crunch year for us as we start then phasing the system in. For some time it will run concurrently, probably to the CETA system. Modules that have been completed is access and security, student management, exam center management and payments. and then over the page, which is the heart of the system, resulting in certification is 90% complete, time saving and exam preparation 100% complete, and then the section on irregularities in that system around 80% complete. As we're developing the system, we are also making sure that it talks to the Umalusi systems, it talks to the Department of Home Affairs systems. You know, so there's quite a lot of other IT systems that we are trying to match this new IT system to. And probably start of next year, we'll also start with a comprehensive change management system in terms of the new system. First, bringing super users on board, then other users, and you know, just generally creating an awareness of the system. All right. Let me stop there.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, thanks. Members, because of time again, instead of taking engagement now, can allow HRDC to make its presentation and meeting after. Remember, we still have minutes of report that we must have done. I don't want to tamper with your knowledge. Okay. HR, are you ready? Okay. Can you
then start? Yes, it's Brenda Ndombela will be presenting on HR vacancy. The chief director and the head of secretary is there.
Thank you, PG. Thank you, honorable chairman.
Yeah, namaste.
With regard to HRDC, the slide number 3 is telling us about the history of HRDC, that it comes from JISA, and I'm sure most of the honorable members are aware of that, which was launched in March 2006. And then in 2010, JISA's existence ended, then it gave rise to HRDC. The HRDC is that national body, which is an advisory body, established by Council and was launched in 2010. It advises government on the HRD strategy towards 2030, which is actually a revision of what was referred to as the HRD strategy for 2010 to 2030. It also identifies blockages and then it provides solutions. It coordinates the efforts of government departments and social partners in the implementation of the strategy. Monitors through its secretariat and reports on the implementation of the strategy. And then it evaluates the impact of the strategy against the agreed indicators. Slide number 5 gives the structure of HRDC. And then slide number 6 will give us the strategic imperative, which is nothing else but just the goals of the HRC strategy. And then why the strategy was revised, it was because of the, when we go to slide number 7, it is because of bullet number 4, which means that since government launched the MDP and the medium-term strategic framework, there was nothing that was guiding the HRD, then that is the HRDC, then that is why then there was this HRD strategy towards 2030. The outcomes of the strategy are looking at expanded access to quality education and training, slide number 8, increased access, work integrated learning opportunities, and improvement in throughput, the pass rates, and learning outcomes. Another outcome is that of graduates to be able to access workplace and then look at the system which will produce more research and innovation, and then there must be more effective education and training and skills development in the system, and lastly looking and covering the issues of digitalization. One thing that is clear about what the strategy is looking at is that it involves government, it involves all the other social partners, it involves the role of business, it also looks at the role of labor as well as the role of the communities. Based on what DG has said, I'm just going to run through what those social partners are doing. When it comes to government, there are, when one is looking at a strategy, at the end of the strategy there is an implementation plan. Which implementation plan will identify as to which government department is supposed to do what, and in terms of delivery. So also the HRD provincial councils, because now we have about eight provinces that have launched their councils. So through the HRD provincial councils, the HRD Council of South Africa is now able to see what the provinces are doing. And the local government strategies are also in line with the provincial ones. Then when it comes to the role of business, the YES program is contributing a lot towards what the HRDC is requesting to be done. It should also continue to support the employment tax incentive scheme. The skills accord, which was signed by all the social partners, also is contributing towards the work of the HRDC. And then, in terms of the business again, there is an issue of CEPAS being seen as being more active in including the support of the process. Labour is also requested by the strategy to do a lot of work. Right now, the council has got a committee, which is the Worker Education Committee, which is looking at the labour issue. It should also support an analysis of the requirements in terms of the skills audit, which was also done by the Worker Education Committee. And labour is encouraged to make resources available to support skills training as part of its commitment in terms of creation of the job. And then labour should also advocate for the adoption of the International Labour Organization's convention. Then the communities. Communities are people who are within the communities and they are able to voice their opinions when it comes to issues. The programs are on slide number 13, but the key achievements that have been achieved by councils are, the first one is the very same existence and launch of the council, which was in 2010. The adoption of the five-point plan, which was based on the Human Resource Development Strategy 2010 to 2030. The establishment of the technical working group, because that technical working group was responsible for advising what the Human Resource Development Council is supposed to be doing. But now the name of the WG has changed to EXCO. There were 11 technical task teams that were doing the work of the council, and all the 11 that were there before completed their work. Then we have the Provincial Coordination Forum, which coordinates the work of the provinces when it comes to HRDC. That was launched in 2011. Then we have a strategy now, and then we have held very successful three HRC summits since 2014. They were held biannually. When we look at slide number 15, the technical task teams that were appointed to conduct some research based on the blockages that were identified by council did their work, and they completed all what they were supposed to do. Now the achievements based on exactly or specifically the work of the technical task team is that in terms of the reports that we received, ECD has been expanded, and we now have an increase in the grade R enrollment, and then there is improved equity in learning outcomes. There is increase in the percentage of learners who are achieving more than 50% in physical science and mathematics, which is another target of, the concern of the HRC Council. Then, in terms of mathematics, Council appointed a standing committee on maths and science, which is about to present its findings to Council towards the end of the year. And then they conducted their research on pre- and post-service teacher education, especially the teachers who are teaching mathematics. And then they've completed the initial report for pre-service teacher education that will provide the suggested standards on the scope and depth of the knowledge for mathematics and science. Program 2 is the one that is looking at the TVET and the rest of the college system. A lot of things have been said by the department in terms of governance, in terms of capacitating the college councils, in terms of strengthening the TVET colleges when it comes to financial management, as well as the professional CPD program for the lecturers. The council, the HRB council, has launched a concept which is referred to as the Adopted TVET College, which is was launched in 2014. This concept is about partnerships, where you get industry adopting a college. Even if it is adopting a college, but there is this thing of saying we are only encouraging partnerships. It's not a way of saying the certain company is going to adopt a college, but it's just to work with them. There's also another concept of the Friends of TVET Colleges from the council members who are assisting the colleges when they have got a program. Under Program 3, Higher Education and Training Research, the NGAP program is doing well, and I'm sure honorable members saw some of the results that were presented by the university branch. And there are a number of achievements in terms of the achievements that have been presented by the university branch as well. The Maritime Skills Development Study was launched in 2011, coming from the Maritime Technical Task Team that has been presented to the honorable members. We now have the establishment of the maritime schools, especially in the Eastern Cape, and the KZN. We have Umfolozi College as well as the DUT looking at the maritime training. Program 4 in terms of skills for the transformed society. The first bullet was also reported by the department in terms of the labor market intelligence partnership, which is also a result of the work of the Skills System Review Technical Task Team of Council. The establishment of the Skills Planning Unit is on the cusp by the department. The National Skills Planning Forum was established again by the department. We also have seen the establishment of the Centers of Specialization by the department coming from the work of the council. And then the Department of Small Business and Development launched a national web-based platform, which is a CEDA portal. Going on, continuing with the transformation, the targets for the artisans we have spoken about, and this one is including both the department as well as the SOC. And then a number of things have been achieved by the artisans by getting the single guaranteed funding and learner administration, the artisan record of prior learning, and I mean recognition of prior learning, and then the data that has been presented by our skills development. Then lastly, under Program 5, some of the recommendations that came from the Skills System Review again, they have seen the establishment of the National School of Government, also the Department of Public Service and Administration drives the development and implementation of the public service, HRG strategy, which flows from the HRG strategy towards 2030. The career development services established by the department has been mentioned in terms of the developmental state and the development of the workplace-based learning policy framework. In conclusion, Honorable Champ would like to say that as much as all this is being done, we also need to bear in mind that the HRC Council is an implementer, it's just an advising body, and it's only responsible for advising. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You can open up for questions.
Welcome, Chair. Welcome, Chair.
We'll ask members to ask two questions, each short questions, because now we don't have the time. Because we're still going to adopt minutes and report, because we don't have, next week might be our last meeting.
And there are items that are already on our program scheduled for next week. So we don't want to come here on Christmas Day to adopt the agenda. Honorable Bozoli? Honorable Kile? Mkulu? Yeah. Because this time I'm not encouraging members. If you don't want that one. Let's go. Bozoli?
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions, according to the rules. The first one is, I found your presentation quite confusing. It was the NCV and then the NATEV and then the this, and these were certificates recorded and those were certificates not recorded. No, I found it. I want to know how many people have not received their certificates totally in the country as a whole as of today. Because it looks like, from the report, a lot of people. And it's a little bit disguised by all the tables that you've presented. And then the second point is to the HRDC. Can you really claim that all of those things that you mention as achievements of the HRDC really are achievements? I mean, all the things, for example, that the Department of Higher Education and Training has done are under your banner as achievements. But I'm wondering whether the department wouldn't have done them anyway. I mean, maybe the DG can talk about them. Because is the HRDC just a talk shop, or is it something that really influences policy and all that? And linked to that is there's very little mention of small business or any other initiative that you are looking at to deal with unemployment. You have the vast numbers of unemployed people, the millions of unemployed people. All of these cozy relationships between the state, labor, and business are all around people who are already employed. They are not really concerned with the unemployed. And I worry whether HRDC is not a little bit of a talk shop that to make everybody feel better about themselves, and many of those initiatives that you claim credit for would not have happened anyway. But that may be unfair, so I look to your answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, with your new rules, I will abide. But Chairperson, we're not going to be able to process the minutes. We will have to call a special meeting.
No. you can't. Would rather put it to the meeting.
Okay, but the point is...
But I'm saying this is not the time to discuss that.
No,
you ask your questions.
The committee will decide on that. Chair, can I... First of all, just take the HRDC. I think it's very important to understand the origin of the institution and its sort of far-reaching work that they are conducting. Yes, it's always difficult if you're not an implementing arm to prove what you have as a success, but obviously it's sort of overseen. The broader human resource development plan for the country. I would like to also just express a concern about the certification thing. If I understand your slide 7, the data from CETA, that is related to NCV, and then obviously we've had the major backlog dating back to 2011. Which was really a totally unacceptable situation, that there was not intervention, and I think this committee has to be given credit for forcing this marriage between CETA, UMALUSI, and the Department of Higher Education to really just get down and do the job. Now, if I look at that, I think your approach to the 176 outstanding is probably the right one, but the slide thereafter, slide 8, is really not a good picture. We really need to see additional efforts, and I don't know exactly if you have the solution of where to start to resolve those, because you can't allow a situation where 15,862 students are still impacted. So what are you going to do about that? And then just a question. At one stage when we visited the department, there was mention of possibly simplifying the system. Do not have outsourced open examinations in subject choices or whatever, only in the final examination. So how far are those plans? Is it feasible? Is it going to be achievable? Because we all agree that the burden it is placing on the department is obviously quite significant. And also to process all of these, and the impact on the students is quite severe. So we would like to see, is it possible, will you achieve it, or have you decided to quit the project?
Okay, thanks. Number three.
Thanks, Chair, thanks for the presentation. Mine is just on the phasing out of subject certificate. We are happy to see that there is progress in that area, but my question is there communication with the institutions themselves and students, whether they are aware that there will no longer be subject certificates, because we don't want challenges due to lack of communication. Thank you.
Sure.
Well,
last one. Okay. Can we then get responses? If you can help me, let's finish by half past the session.
No, thank you very much. On this question of the certification, in terms of the processes and the work, that we are doing in this fourth demarry. It's quite correct that it's really working. At the point of the initial engagement, quite intense, the issue was around NCV certificates, of which we had to focus on it, to itch down just over 400,000 certificates that were outstanding at that stage. And the work at a technical level in these three entities actually paid off, as we stand now at around 176 for 2007 November up to 2017 March. And those are really technical issues that relate to the discrepancies of the information that has been supplied, which is being cleaned up through manual processes, and that's 642. I think in respect to NCV, we don't stress really, but we're just working to finalize those outstanding. The issue then that came out to be a lapse as a result of over-concentration on MCV, it was the latest. Now, when we picked up this matter, we worked out mechanisms both within the department, CETA and Umalusi on the other hand. If I'm correct, my colleagues should correct me. On the 29th of October 2018, we're standing at around just over 64,000, which was quite alarming, which then activated extraordinary measures that we had to put in place to actually work on this matter. And as of 12th November 2018, that number reduced to just over 15,000. Now, the next session will be Monday next week, I guess it would be the sixth. We'll see how far we've been able to address that 15,000, which is the outstanding. It's not to say the situation is glossy and we should be proud of, but what we can assure the honorable members is that the amount of work, effort that has gone into this is quite enormous. We are working just around the clock with as these three bodies to address this this matter. And I think last time we met, I sought us to commit on specific deadlines, but the technicians advised that no, let's just come back on the 6th. We report on progress and we will tell you something that would be quite concrete. We sit on Monday, fortnightly, as I can remember this date and the one which is the forthcoming. And I thought perhaps if these technicians couldn't travel between Gauteng and Cape Town, they would have addressed quite a lot, but they would have to catch up overnight on the time we have missed, because we have to account at the same time. And here, there is no other way in which we could be doing it. On HRDC, I think perhaps the objectives of the HRDC is to get together all critical partners, social partners, if you like, in putting up the mechanisms in place that would assist in supporting the question of enhancing training in the country. At school level, what are the issues? TVET college level, universities, and what kind of partners do we need to mobilize to come to the party in order to address these challenges? And I think in respect to that, and also working together with provincial government departments, of which one of the things that have actually been put firmly on the agenda is that the provincial administration must take interest in interacting with institutions within their jurisdiction with a view of determining as to what are the skills that are needed by the economy industries within those particular areas, of which I think the Western Cape has been doing quite well, especially in working with the TVET colleges, in respect into assisting them to respond what municipalities need in terms of skills, as well as the response to the provincial development strategy. So in respect to that, I think it's doing its work quite very well. But of course, executing still remains the responsibility of the Department of Higher Education and Training, and basic education as well. Now the review, we are reviewing the examination system at TVET college level because we think it's quite cumbersome. You can't have 7 examination cycles, you know, in a year. It's quite enormous because your work is being consumed by writing examinations on trimester basis, you know, etc. And in a whole range of programs that are being offered. The last session we had with the minister on the proposals that were having resulted into quite fruitful engagement and proper guidance from the minister. Now we are working on some of the technical issues with a view of bringing the reworked recommendations for ministers' approval. So there is work in respect to that, honorable member. Gillian, and we think we will be able to resolve it quite shortly. Of course, it would be quite a fundamental policy issue that we have to work into phasing in its implementation in the city. But making that determination is quite important. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Member.
Members, if we have some of the question are not clearly answered, but I think digitality is a real best to answer questions, especially on certification. If not, we'll suggest that we be given written responses.
No, thank you, Chair.
Let me hear.
Chair, I'd like to hear a response from the HRDC people themselves, since the DG doesn't really speak for them, he speaks for the department.
Okay, let's give them a few minutes.
Oh, it's us who are in charge.
And when the HRDC responds, will they also please just tell us, you have indicated that there are 8 provincial councils established, which is the one that is not used?
Okay. Why is the HRDC?
Yes, thank you, Honourable Chairman. I will start with the last one. It's only Gauteng that doesn't have the Human Rights Development Council, the provincial one. Now, in terms of what it is, DG has actually given a response. I would, however, explain more and say the issue of, that is further to what DG has said, the issue of the partnership is one that is also being looked at as something that is a delivery for the council. Because, for example, if you look at the work that is done by Harambee, Harambee is partnering with the Human Resource Development Council to see to it that the students or the learners who are not employed, they actually get employment through the processes that are done by the Harambee itself. So there are a number of companies or industries that are actually assisting in encouraging that the need try to get employment. So that is how it does it. That is one. And then two, the fact that we have the skills planning unit within the department, that skills planning unit is actually looking at also the issues that are related to the demand versus the supply by the country. And then the third issue is about providing the solution, as DG has said. When we have people from business, from organized labor, from government, and from universities sitting together, they are able to come up with solutions as to how employment can be created, for example, for the Department of Small Business within the country. And then they are able to advise as to how all those challenges can be addressed.
Sure. Thank you. Yes. Can I then see if we can close this session now, take lunch for 5 minutes, come back, and for members to decide on the minutes and support. Let's discuss then after taking lunch, because it has just arrived. And everybody, department and entities, I know you've been working very hard ever since this morning. Let's just take a 5 minutes just to take and come back and continue. Department and entities can actually leave us, but it first. Okay. For members, 5 minutes break. Just to take that time.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Okay.
Members, we have minutes here, and the reports from Russia, and remember that last week we said we're postponing this minutes and report. We'll adopt them this week. Our situation is such that next week we are even NSFAS department and other two entities to present, and we'll be left with only 1 week, the following week. So if we can adopt now, the danger is next week definitely we can adopt, but that other week also, being the last week, it might be impossible if something crops up. Now, you know the situation has been in the past. I can imagine there are a lot of mistakes there. My own opinion is if there's nothing fundamental, it is typological, grammar, and you've marked them. We've been getting a lot of assistance in the past, let's be honest. Our minutes has never been up to scratch, just in terms of the English, the word construction, spellings. We've been dealing with those type of things, which our brother here, Anele, can just cope with. So if I suggest it is those primary school things which you can help us as you have already in the past, and give them to him, and he'll affect that, and that will help. Unless if it is problems that are on the meaning of issues, on in principle, issues, concepts, issues that we've discussed. But if it is the usual thing that we really encounter, I suggest we adopt. Mampapa is presently in Africa attending where? She's in Kenya. So she usually also assists Anele, so you can imagine if she's not here.
No.
Hell has broken loose. So that is my suggestion, members. Can we, if members make corrections, mark them, can we agree that we go and adopt with the understanding that all those, this is what has been happening. I mean, we've received a lot of assistance from this committee. If it wasn't from this committee, we'd be having a big pile of minutes that can never be adopted by any office in the world. Can I then hear what people say, rather than wait and have to come there? Honorable Killer?
Chairperson, it's not correct that we had it on the agenda last week and it was deferred. We received it on Monday the 19th, in the course of the morning, 2 days ago. It is 10 sets of minutes and 2 reports. instance, I have worked through part of it, but it's more than just typographical corrections. And I feel uncomfortable because my suggestion would be that we, every member could indicate the corrections that they want to propose from a typographical point of view, but the more substantial corrections, which could reflect incorrectly in the deliberations, etc., should be brought to the attention of the chairperson so that she can put it to us as a committee to see how we can correct. And I just want to mention one chairperson. For instance...
No, we
okay.
do understand, we do take your point. Let's
okay.
listen to other people who will come.
Thank
to
you, Chair.
Yeah. That is a very positive suggestion, actually. Can I hear others? Okay. Well, Marat?
Chair, I think I've also encountered a few of corrections which would temper with and on the basis of such, trying to do grammatical corrections now, when you are still going to do with the substantive matters, might also not be for today. So my suggestion, Chairperson, would be to defer.
Yeah, no, this is not how I think you have misconstrued the way I understood it was that the typological ones we can submit to an LA after marking, but the substantial one we page by page correct those, which is a good sense. I would like to take a try on that, starting now, because plenary today started 3. So, sorry?
Chair, I think you might have misunderstood that part. if I
can she speak for herself?
But let me just speak for myself.
You have already. And I think you are misinterpreting it.
Okay.
Let's actually, you're not saying, let's the typological ones we can give to an LFO correction. But the substantial one we can correct now and see how far we can go.
Chairperson, no, that was not my proposal. My proposal was that we submit a typographical one via email to Anele, but that we then reconvene the committee during a lunch hour or sometime next week when the chairperson is here and she can lead us through the more substantial one. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair. What I want you to decide is, it isn't about whether the chairperson is here or not, because I'm chairing. If we feel we can do it now, the issue is not the chairing. The issue is, do we think we can do it today within the time that we have? Because next week, it is clear we can't do it all together. Mkhulu?
Thank you. No, Chair, for me it's not about who is chairing. I think it is really more at looking closely, ensuring that what is reflected in the minutes also speaks to the reports that have been referred to the House or tabled in the ATC. So it's those things that we need to be clear on. Yes, I want to agree with the members that we meet sometimes just for an hour next week and do the minutes. It's not the chairperson, even Honorable Tekana could have done them with us if we had enough time. But we are just requesting your permission, Chair, that we do them next week because we have other matters to attend to.
What I've heard from analysts is that next week is out, so it might be the following week, which is the last week. And that is fine.
Chair.
Yeah, let's hear.
Yeah. Analyst correcting next week.
Let me just give you this information when you respond. Analyst responding that next week, Wednesday, there's a plenary for the whole day. and then we are sitting on Tuesday to hear NSFAS and the other department and other entities.
Mm-hmm.
And there's caucus and meeting in
we
the afternoon
one
on Thursday. So the only week is the first week of December, which is our closing week. No, speak aloud, let's all hear.
How is Thursday 1 to 2?
No, we can't schedule. You see, lunchtime is for members to take their lunches.
But sometimes we take
it. Sorry?
Sometimes we take it. Even last week we took 1 to 2.
What about 8:30?
Yeah,
yeah, well, we can do that.
Yeah, Anele.
8:30.
8:30.
Yes,
when? Thursday.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, that's fine. Is that fine, Anele? He's going to apply. Where do you apply? We are free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says you need to apply for permission because it is 8:30 in the morning. Don't we have members who's got, because other members attend two meetings on Thursday.
But the four meetings start at 9:30.
So you think 8:30 up to 9 will finish?
Yeah.
Okay. 8:30 next week, Thursday, that is okay. The meeting is dismissed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So you said, Chair, you say between 1 and 2 is for members' lunch. Nothing can be lunch.
No, we have solved this. You can discuss it when the need arises. For now, we are fine. I think we need to get 8:30. So next time when you feel there's a need, we can discuss it afresh.
Okay.
Bye.